Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody to the No BS Bishop Alive to Love. I believe all lesser values than love are potential BS, which is to say you can bait and switch people and you can BS in other ways, but ultimately love is the final reality, and love transcends and pushes BS aside. And I'm here to invite you to live a BS-free life. How's that? So today on the No BS Bishop, I'm going to use a couple of large words with you, ontological and existential. We'll get to that in just a moment. Ontological and existential, having to do with love and the greater purposes thereof. But before I get there, we do a couple of things here to keep me between the white lines and to keep you informed, really genuinely informed about what it is I'm genuinely, truthfully, honestly trying to achieve and do here with you day in and day out. One is, I want to lead you in Love's Creed. And then after that, I want to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. Love's Creed first, though, something I wrote many years ago as a New Year's resolution, edited it over many years, and it's in this final form. And I offer it as something for you to speak out loud, call yourself into. That's ontological and existential. I'll get to that. But this is a means by which you can meditate in something that calls you higher in life. And that's why I'm here week in and week out on this radio broadcast and podcast to give you an opportunity to go ahead, feel that pain, feel the burn, just like when you're exercising. Because that burn tells you some muscles are getting used that need to be used. And I guarantee you, love is a muscle that needs to be used, and you'll probably feel the burn. All right, Love's Creed. Here it is in total. Then I'll go back through it, and I'll ask you to repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, let me offer it to you like I would at a wedding altar, a wedding service, as I ask the bride and groom to repeat after me. I've been privileged to see an awful lot of brides, an awful lot of grooms nervously toeing the ground and blinking back tears as they repeat their vows, because I know they feel the weight of what's happening there. What I want you to feel is the weight of what's happening right now in Love's Creed as you repeat after me. Make it yours. Make it yours. Make it an ontological, existential calling in your life. All right, here we go. Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Whew, I mean it when I say it gives me pause. The weight of the words give me a sense of filtering my attitudes and my inner world. And again, that's what we'll be discussing today. How do I shape my life by shaping my inner world? Love's Creed is a means by which we can do that. If you'd like a copy, write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase, at Gmail. It'd be my pleasure to send you a copy. So, with that in mind, and the same kind of inner world shaping that we all are in need of, I want to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. I am very aware many, many people don't know the Lord's Prayer because, quite frankly, the church in the United States is shrinking rapidly, and as a result, some training has been voided as a result of that shrinking presence. For me, and I hope you understand my heart about it, I bear no shame against anybody who's walked away from church. In fact, I'm on the opposite end of that spectrum. I'm seeking to, as Jesus said, go find that one sheep that left the 100. I want to hear the exit review. I want to know what has caused this massive departure from organized religion in America. And as a pastor of 50 years, it's my heart, my passion to connect with people who have found it necessary to get out from underneath the constructs and the constriction of organized religion. There are significant and valid reasons that need to be heard. So to that end, many of you may not know the Lord's Prayer, and I want you to know you bear no side glance from me, no shame at all from me. I just want you to know it's a valuable tool, and if you want to learn it, that would be great. If you don't know it, just be patient with yourself. And if you don't know it, let me pray it on your behalf. If you do know it, join me in it to pray those magical, mystical words that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I'm learning and still wrapping myself around things like Love's Creed and the Lord's Prayer to let those words be an inner formation, an inner means by which my world changes. The most prayed prayer in history is the Lord's Prayer, prayed by millions of people for 2,000 years. That's got to mean something, and I want to throw my spiritual surfboard on that wave and ride that into shore. So that's my invitation. All right. Well, I gave you a fair warning at the beginning. I was going to use a couple of big words, but they have big meaning for every human being. There are two words I want to use as it relates to the power of love: ontological and existential. All right. Please bear with me. I'm not just trying to impress you with my multiple syllable ability to say two big words. I just know that these words bear a construction of the human soul that needs to be discussed. And so that's why I'm here with you to discuss what it means to have love creating an ontological repair. Now, let me give you a phrase I hope that'll stick with you about that. Love is a deep ontological repair, parentheses I would add, healing my inner being. Love is deep ontological repair. To live for love, to live in love, to live for love, to live by love creates a deep ontological repair. So I counsel a fair amount of people and have over the many years that I've pastored, and I always want to help people find their inner world. What is shaping you? What's shaping your definitions? What's shaping your own goals and purposes? Because it's not just happening by accident. Something inside of you is cooking. There's a kitchen in you, and there's something in the oven. And I think it's important to recognize sometimes it's burning, and you better get that oven opened and turn the heat off and repair and replace what's been burning in there. And make it, just stretch the analogy, bear with me, make it some sweet-smelling homemade bread rather than something in the oven is burning in the kitchen. Let's look at it that way. That's what ontological is about. It's about your inner world. The ontological reality of every human being is we're all carrying it. Now, what you can do for yourself is, if you want to discover your ontological reality at any given moment, then smack into physical or psychological pain, hit it hard, and your ontology will be instantly verbalized. So the analogy there is, if you strike your thumb with a hammer, your ontology will reveal itself. You'll say something that you're not always saying. It's like the old story I've heard many years ago, when the father was hammering a nail and he hit his thumb. His little son was standing there and he hit his thumb with that hammer and he cried out a blue streak. He cussed and looked at his son and realized, uh-oh, my little four-year-old here's listening to me. And the dad said to the son, oh, I'm sorry, that's not really me. Yeah, a little four-year-old, if he had the ability to respond, would say, wait a minute, how is that not you? I heard you. I would respond by saying, hey, if you squeeze a lemon, you don't get orange juice. When I get squeezed, what's inside comes out. So love, I'm proposing here, is a deep ontological repair. That's why I'm offering you Love's Creed, to give you a filter, to give you some agency by which you can walk through how love works, how love looks, how love smells in that baking bread in the oven, how love can be a means by which to define life, how love can be a profound and powerful sense of managing not just relationships, obviously relationships, but managing how we define the world. Many years ago, a great teacher and theologian, Catholic thinker by the name of Thomas Merton said, we must revolutionize our thinking, revolutionize our actions, and have the courage to revolutionize our relations throughout the nations of the world. And cut to the bottom half of this quote, he said, but love is the only answer. Medieval talk about love does nothing. What does love mean today? What is its place in the enormous dimensions of the modern world? We have to love in a new way and with a new attitude. And I suppose perhaps the first thing to do is to admit that you and I do not know the meaning of love in any context, ancient or new. Well, Merton hits the nail on the head. Let's go back to the analogy of the hammer nail, right? Merton hits it. I think it's important to acknowledge. I have been for several years now that I don't know the full meaning of love. I've been on a pilgrimage my whole life, but it's only been in the last decade or so that I've recognized, my goodness, this thing that we call love isn't just about a Valentine's card. It's not just about some puppy love crush. This is the meaning of life. This is the meaning of my inner world. The deep ontological repair of love, the deep inner world of Randy, the deep inner world of you, put your name in there, is shaped, it's managed by love. And that's a daily meditation. That's a daily contemplation. That's a daily filter for your businesses, your experiences, your recreation, your hard work. What do you love? How do you love? Who do you love? What happens when love is challenged by enemies? What happens when love is rejected? What happens when love becomes this, a dare from somebody that says, how dare you love me like that? And they might not say it quite like that, but in a sense, all of that has to do with your ontology, your inner world, this world of you, this universe inside of you. Rumi once said, you are not just a drop in the ocean. You are the ocean in a drop. I hope you catch that. You are not just some drop in the ocean. No, you are the ocean in a drop. So all of the reality of the universe is in every one of us. All the reality of love is in each of us, waiting for discovery, waiting for repair. That's why I've started this half of what I'm discussing with you. Love is a deep ontological repair. It walks through the hallways of our thinking, our inner world, and it challenges us to rise and shine to something far more beautiful than what we are often given to live. Yep, that's right. Love is a marathon, baby. Love is not a sprint. I wish it was. I wouldn't be as, my feet and legs, spiritually speaking, wouldn't be nearly as tired, and my body would be a whole lot more in shape if it was just a sprint. But nope, it's a marathon. It's more than a marathon. It's a mountain climb. And it invites us to something that will require all of our attention. And I don't mean to make this sound like it's an awful thing. In fact, quite frankly, it's the opposite. I'm inviting you and me to go into something magnificent, to see love as the Michelangelo painting of the Sistine Chapel, as this ongoing majesty that can be a part of our inner world. So love is a deep ontological repair. Turn love loose on the inside of you. See what happens. See what it goes through the shelves and the inner files of your being, and see where it takes you as you manage life, as you manage the existential meaning of the world. So now let me turn the corner from one big word, ontological, to the existential purposes of love. What I believe about love is simply that there is a rising to something existential, something above ordinary, normal, mediocre living. Here's something I've recently written, and this is specifically to church people, but it applies to humanity. So listen carefully. So what if the church simply fell in love with all humanity? And that means you, that means me, jettisoning shaming values, slogans, political obsessions, and then found our way to channel all that energy into real and fully explored love. No more running and dashing back and forth, left and right, but to an existential rising to the divine reality of love. Existential rising, to be a person of a inner world that's been healed, but in that inner world that is being healed, that ontological repair of love, but to see that the existential, the existence of life finds its fullness in love, rising to an existential, larger purpose in the world that is called love, to be done with labels and tribalism and left and right and elephants and donkeys, and find out that there's something bigger, more beautiful, more inviting to the life we live. Now, I'm not suggesting for one split second that we exit practical purposes politically, because I'm a political guy. I worked with a political campaign in Texas many, many, many years ago. I enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed political conversations. But something's gone wrong, hasn't it, lately? Lately, we, especially in the United States, lately we've lowered it from an existential rising to a diving into a dumpster that is on fire. We've just got to find in ourselves, one at a time, the courage to have an existential rising, to rise above, to go beyond, to lift ourselves out of this pit, to pull ourselves. Again, I I can think very clearly politically. I've been on a school board. I was for 18 years. You're invited to have something more than just an opinion. You got to know what you're talking about on some levels when you're involved politically like that. But to find life's meaning, and that's what existentialism is about. Life's meaning. What is life about? There is an invitation to have an existential rising to the divine reality of love. And like Merton, you might say, oh, yeah, yeah, listen to you religious people, listen to you spiritual people, you religious folks. You just have these flowery notions. You don't know what real life's about. Well, let me just tell you, I've spent most of my adult life repairing real life when it comes to homes and families and children and marriages and churches and businesses. As a pastor, one of my callings has been to heal the sheep, and the sheep don't get wounded by slogans. They get wounded by real life. And unless you want to just fall off into a non-meaning purpose as a pastor and just give people slogans, well, which is not me. I don't want to be a sloganer. I don't want to give you a bumper sticker to repair your broken life, your broken heart, your broken physical bodies. I don't want to give you a bumper sticker, a shiny little gold star. No, I want to give you something existential to hit the meaning of life. What is the meaning of life? And the meaning of life is love. And well, if the meaning of life is love, then I can almost hear somebody say, well, then give me a bumper sticker. And I'll laugh and say, well, I wish I could, but I can't, because that would be a betrayal of my own nature. I want you to think deeply. I want you to go beyond, rising above sloganeering, rising above shaming, what we do sometimes when we're in need of ontological inner world repair is we just sometimes, in a very sad way, we only validate our brokenness inside and then look out at the world around us as if everybody else is wrong and only I am right. And your ego loves that. My ego loves that. If I can just make everybody else wrong and me right, well, my ego gets pretty inflated, because then I'm right and everybody else is wrong. And look at me, I'm so smart and I'm a world-class genius. No, I'm a world-class fool. If everybody else is wrong and I'm right, well, then I need some deep ontological repair, and I need to find that existential escalator to rise above all the clamor, all the right and left, and all the black and white. I wish life was just as simple as black and white, and I mean black and white in the context of meaning. But there are shades of colors all throughout life. There are shades of the rainbow. There are varying nuances. No one problem in the human condition is simplistic. It's full of complexities. But those complexities that's what makes us beautiful, right? That's what makes us something to behold. Look at us. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. So I don't mean there. I just put a bumper sticker on it. Sorry. I'm drawn. I just have always been drawn to unpack things, to find out what's the real goal, or what are the real motivations inside. And that's why I'm talking to you about your inner world, ontological. That's why I'm talking about the meaning of life, existentialism, the far and away above ordinary thinking. And I want to just issue a sense of, I don't know, just a sense of awareness. That's the word I want, awareness. When you scroll through Facebook or X or Twitter or Instagram or whatever your social media means of choice are, and I do, be aware that you're looking at the world through you're looking at the world through a very, very narrow lens. Now, I'm not against it. Please hear me when I say I have employed social media to my advantage to educate myself, to edit my comments and my responses and the questions people bring me. It's done me a world of good. But the way it's done me a world of good is that I am determined to shine a light where there is darkness, and I'm determined to see that no one comment from any one person, wherever it may be, is the full meaning of life for everybody for all time. And like Thomas Merton said, it's important for us when it comes to the subject of love, how about we admit that we don't know anything? Let's start there and work our way up. Okay, well, I've got to end this meaning of life and this deep inner repair conversation, bring it to a close. Sure appreciate you giving me your attention to this. I pushed the envelope a little bit here because it's beating very loudly in my heart. All right, I do a few things here to close my time with you, and one is I want to invite you to breathe. Breathing is living. You can't live without breathing, and you can't live well without breathing well. On the count of three, take the deepest breath you can, sit up as straight as you can, put aside distractions, and close your eyes and rise to the deepest breath that you're able to take. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. That'll lower your blood pressure. It'll slow your rapid thoughts. And it'll give you the opportunity to genuinely think rather than react to the world around you. Next thing I want to do with you is to invite you to a practice that I'm known for. It's uncomfortable. It's startling. It's wrenching from normal behaviors. It's sad that I have to say that, but it's true, and you'll know it when I say this. And that is when we call ourselves to attention and we say the three most holy, magical, charmed, beautiful words in the human language with real intention. I love you. Right? When you, even when we say that to a long-term friend or loved one, it's rattling, it's startling when we do it the way I just challenged you. But I'm proposing it very well may be a means by which we shake up the normal routines and give ourselves the chance to connect, reconnect in a 21st century rat race. And you know, it's killing the rats because the race is brutal. How about we change the rhythm into a simple exercise of three words? I love you. Yep, it's hard. But yes, it's revolutionary in its potential. Well, I'm always here to close by telling you this. The biggest mistake we make in life is thinking we have more time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Mother Teresa said once, go into all the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. I'm not Mother Teresa, I'm just Bishop Randy. And Randy says to you, let's do something beautiful. Shall we? Could we please make beauty a centerpiece of how we live in ordinary ways and extraordinary ways? Rise and shine. Do something beautiful. Because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. Let's let love be the rising of our shining in everyday living, in everyday relationships, as we walk through this world, letting a light be so brilliant that others are drawn to an invitation to live abundantly and beautifully. God bless you. Happy trails, y'all. And rise and shine with the beauty of love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.